So what do you do? Do you follow the money or do you chase the money in this political year? President Obama, in a sense, bowed to political reality yesterday and acknowledged that to compete in this year's election, he and the Democrats are going to have to rely on the new unlimited cash monsters of the 2012 political landscape, the super PACs. Republicans have already raised more than $100 million all told in various super PACs supporting different GOP candidates and missions. The momentum will only accelerate once there is a Republican nominee. The Obama reversal was also inevitable. So joining us to discuss how the Citizens United era we're living in won't benefit citizens much or do much uniting in this campaign season is Joe Hagan, contributing editor for New York Magazine. Joe, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So, Joe, would you describe this as a reversal or simply a bowing to the economic realities suddenly in this Citizens United era?
I definitely think they are just going along with the reality. There's a pure math equation here. There's the amount of money that they have been watching the Republican side accumulate is creating a lot of fear, frankly. And, you know, we've seen in this Republican primary how powerful that money can be and how willing they are to use it to go negative. And I think that, you know, eventually they were going to have to do this and take the kind of political hit for reversing themselves on a principle that Obama has said, you know, he's said that he did not agree with the Citizens United ruling and was unhappy about this, the creation of these super PACs. But nevertheless, here's the reality.
Do you think the logic of the Obama decision comes from observing what's going on in the GOP campaign in that so much of the super PAC money is going to the negative style ads and the traditional ads are maybe more issue oriented, but the super PAC cash is really all about the negative and the Democrats need to counter that in some sense. Is that what's going on here?
Oh, absolutely. And if you look just the raw numbers here, okay, you know, Obama's campaign committee is thinking they're going to raise maybe $750 million, you know, if they're lucky, a billion. On the GOP side, they're going to raise that much plus, you know, the $500 million that American Crossroads and the Koch brothers and their nonprofit are talking about raising. They are living with the reality that they're going to be outspent one way or another. But, you know, by what measure? Is where the fear comes in, because this is a, like I said, it's a math game and they see this game board in which they are going to be overwhelmed. You know, I think it's important to note that you talk about, yes, these super PACs are definitely driving the negative. That's almost what they're there for, right? To go negative and to spend a lot of money doing it. But the dynamic of this race is also at bottom negative. I mean, Obama is an incumbent with this sort of high unemployment number as a headwind. He has to kind of make the alternative look worse. I mean, that is sort of the strategy here.
That's interesting. Let's stop right there. You're saying that Obama, as an incumbent with the unemployment rate, it's more of a temptation for him to go negative than it is even for the Republicans.
Well, I wouldn't say more. They both have negative strategies. I mean, Romney has to prove that Obama's leadership has been awful and that everything that's happening is his fault. That's his negative strategy, and Obama's is, this is a choice election between me, who you know, and maybe trust, maybe you don't, but Romney, who is going to be even worse, you know, in a terrible road to go down.
And who knows, after today, maybe it's going to be Santorum or someone else. We're talking to Joe Hagan.
Right.
Contributing.
That's a very good point. And, you know, they have been strategizing behind the scenes with the presumption that Romney would be the nominee. So, if that gets thrown off course, all bets are off.
Yeah, indeed. Joe Hagan, contributing editor at New York Magazine. What weapons do the Democrats have? I mean, is Move On, you know, the super PAC source here? I mean, who and what is going to come in and supplement what Obama has constantly touted as a small contribution grassroots fundraising strategy?
Well, they have on the side that's been operating for, you know, more than a year now, Priorities USA, which is the pro-Obama super PAC. It's run by a former Obama advisor, Bill Burton. And it's like, you know, it's a mirror image of the ones being run for Romney and for the other candidates, where it's run by a former staffer. And there's sort of a paper-thin, wall between the campaign and this outside group. You know, there's legally they're not supposed to have any coordination or contact, these groups, but they, essentially work in tandem, as we've seen in this primary.
Talking to Joe Hagan through the miracle of Skype there, a little twists and turns there in your connection there, Joe, but we're hearing you loud and clear. We love you because of your raw numbers. Give us some of the raw numbers on the expected television advertising between now and November.
Right. Well, let's think about 2008. There were $2.8 billion or $2.5 billion spent in political advertising. That was, 4 years ago. So now, the latest estimate I saw from a Wells Fargo analyst is looking at $4.9 billion. That's close to doubling the amount of political expenditure this year.
Man, so invest in TV networks, right?
No, absolutely. I mean, it was funny just watching in South Carolina and Florida just how swamped these local TV networks stations were with all this advertising. And, it was sort of a good news, bad news, where they were making a lot of money, obviously, but their viewers were, sick to death of watching their channels.
Well, viewers, forget it. What about if you're trying to sell used cars in one of these places and the TV network says, we don't have space for you? Sorry, pal.
No, exactly. No, that's true. There's only so much real estate there. But and they're, like I've wrote about in my story about this, they're running these advertisements, these negative ads, more frequently on a day-to-day basis than they ever have in the past. I mean, they're running,
Well, there's a limited amount of actual advertising real estate space, and there's also a limited amount of space in people's brains to tolerate this heavy rotation. Joe Hagan wrote the article, The Coming Tsunami of Slime, How Super PACs, Vulnerable Candidates, and Armies of Mercenaries Will Converge to Create the Ugliest Campaign Ever. We're getting ugly with Joe here on The Takeaway. Continuing now with Joe Hagan, contributing editor at New York Magazine, and you would be forgiven for thinking that Joe Hagan is not an optimist about the coming campaign. His article for New York Magazine is called "The Coming Tsunami of Slime: How Super PACs, Vulnerable Candidates, and Armies of Mercenaries Will Converge to Create the Ugliest Campaign Ever." So, Joe, you mentioned a moment ago that the Crossroads group of the Republicans, run by Karl Rove, I believe, is one of the biggest beneficiaries of the whole super PAC era. Describe how that group is influential and what kind of a war chest they have.
Well, they have so far they've raised about $50 million. They intend to raise $300 million for this election. And once there's a nominee, that money's going to start pouring in earnest. But, Karl Rove has the kind of Rolodex and credibility of the establishment of the party. And so he's used that credibility. And very early on, almost as soon as Obama was elected, he started conceiving this PAC. That is where, a lot of his power derives, is the old Rolodex of guys like Bob Perry in Texas, who is a longtime contributor to, any election Rove's been involved in, basically. So there's a lot of special interest money that Rove can raise, and he has and is doing it.
And those are the inputs for Crossroads. That's the money he has access to. But there's also an innovative piece that involves the tactics that Rove uses to weigh into elections, to sort of flood the zone in close contests. And how does that work?
You mean buying, extraordinary amounts of advertising?
I mean, it's a super PAC that has a very general agenda to support the GOP, but it's not related to a particular candidate. It's essentially a kind of a tactical war chest.
No, absolutely. Well, that a big part of their of American Crossroads is doing Senate and House races, because Rove, a classic tactician, sees the electoral map, and he's very concerned with cornering power in all quadrants of government, not just the executive branch. And he sees it's all part of his grand plan, longtime grand plan, to dominate, have the Republican Party dominate Washington.
Finally, do the Democrats have anything to counter Rove and American Crossroads, or is he a monopoly at this point?
Well, I do think that they between him and the Koch brothers, there is they have a monopoly on the outside money. But You know, Priorities USA is going to help, but here's the real thing. It takes more money to move the needle on an incumbent president who the electorate is familiar with. Whereas on the Democratic side, they don't need as much money necessarily to define Romney, who's not well known to the electorate, not near as well known as Obama. So it actually takes more money to move people's opinion of Obama because he's so well known.
The huge dollar amounts in the Citizens United era 2012 stacking up to be a multi-billion dollar election many times over. Joe Hagan, contributing editor at New York Magazine. His latest piece is the article, The Coming Tsunami of Slime, How Super PACs, Vulnerable Candidates, and Armies of Mercenaries Will Converge to Create the Ugliest Campaign Ever. Happy slime to you there, Joe.
Hey, thanks a lot.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.